in our Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 15. Thank you. So you'll find this on page 1083 in the Church Bible. Some of you might be following electronically on phones or iPads and so on. But John 15, the vine and the branches, is how the passage is headed. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." And we thank God for that reading, and we pray that the words that we read may become for us the living word of God. In these last weeks, we've been reflecting on the theme of discipleship, walking or following in the footsteps of Jesus. We've remembered that a disciple is somebody who pays attention to Jesus quite deliberately. This is by choice. It's somebody who says, "I'm a Christian, but I want to be more than just a Christian in name only. I want to be a disciple. I want to be a student of Jesus." And a disciple stays as close to Jesus as they can. They pay attention to everything that Jesus does. They listen carefully to the teaching of Jesus because they want themselves to receive everything that Jesus is, that they might themselves be transformed and be more like Jesus. The disciple is longing for that in their own life. And we might say of ourselves, "I know that I'm not who I should be." Anybody else say that? "I know I'm not who I should be, but at least I'm not who I was. I may not be who I should be, but at least I'm not who I was. And I'm in the process of becoming." And that is the desire of a disciple. I'm not there yet. But by paying attention to Jesus, by listening carefully, By thinking and reflecting on Jesus, we are being transformed, as the Bible says, from one glory into another. Today we're thinking about fruit. And I think that's, I love that picture, don't you? Luscious grapes. And what we discover is a grapevine produces grapes. Did anybody not understand that before? You know, but I'm telling you, you know, high-level stuff today. A grapevine produces grapes. It's not rocket science. It's straightforward. If you go to a grapevine, you expect to harvest grapes. In my garden at home, got apple trees. Guess what grows on apple trees? Oh, apples. We've got plum trees. We've got one plum tree. Guess what grows on the plum tree? Plums. It's a remarkable thing. But it happens. And grapes grow on grapevines. A grapevine produces grapes naturally. It's what a grapevine does. And today, as we think about character, as a habit of the disciple paying attention to their character, good character is what a disciple produces naturally. Naturally. That's what you produce naturally. Because it's who you are. Character. Who you are becoming. You're not perhaps who you should be, but at least you're not who you were. We are all in the process of being transformed and changed. And this is one of the habits of the disciple. The habits of the disciple that we've been looking at: obedience, prayer, Bible study, worship and service, and character. Good character. Character is who we are becoming. It's who we are being transformed into being, and it is the heart behind the habit. The first thing really to highlight about character, it is about a life that is rooted in Jesus. A life that is rooted in Jesus. The image that Jesus gives in John's Gospel chapter 15 is of himself as the vine. And we all, as we respond to Jesus, we are grafted into the vine. And you may have done some grafting yourself. So we use that expression, don't we, to mean hard work. I've been grafting at it. But the expression to graft is to be grafted into a fruit tree. And Jesus said, "You're grafted into me." And all you have to do, once you are grafted into me, in that sense of being rooted in me, all you have to do is remain. You don't have to do anything else. You just have to remain in me. And you will produce the fruit of Jesus. It will happen naturally. It will happen slowly. And it will happen patiently. The thing about fruit trees is you can't force them to grow fruit. I don't know if you've ever tried it. Have you ever tried? Some people talk to plants, don't they? It's okay. You're allowed to do that. There are some people who swear by it and say, yeah, absolutely. If you speak well to your plants, then they grow better. Is that true? I don't know. Some people say, absolutely. But if you shout at your plants, are they going to grow fruit any more quickly? You could try. But I don't think it will make any difference. You can't force the growth. But as long as you remain in Jesus, grafted in, rooted into Jesus, and all you're doing is what you do naturally, you're just paying attention to Jesus. You're being attentive to Jesus, listening carefully and responding to him. You're drawing Jesus up into you. You will produce the fruit of Jesus naturally. And your character will, day by day, and week by week, and year by year, will be transformed. A life rooted in Jesus. But character also is about becoming like Jesus. Now, I've put up there hands of a potter. Sarah and I have been enjoying the great pottery throwdown. Is that what it's called? And we've been loving it. And I think partly I love it because I quite fancy myself as a potter. And for a birthday gift a few years ago, Sarah and the kids bought me an experience to go to a pottery, and I was dreadful. I was just so bad. But I did it when I was at school, when I was really young. We had a pottery class every week, and we had a kiln and a pottery teacher and made all sorts of things then. And it's been wonderful watching Great Pottery Throwdown and watching them take lumps of clay and forming them into beautiful objects, jars, all sorts of things. And there have been some occasions where they've been throwing a pot where they throw the clay onto the wheel and the wheel's spinning around. And it looks great. And this is me, you know. It looks great when I did it. And then, have you seen it where suddenly the whole thing kind of flies off? Yeah? You know, you've got a pot going and it looks amazing. And then suddenly the whole thing falls to pieces. And what do you do when that happens? You pick it all up and you do it again. And in our life as disciples, as those who choose to be like Jesus, to be rooted in Jesus, there is a sense in which we say to Jesus, look, I'll be the clay, and you form me into all that you want me to be. I'm here, I'm available. And so there is that sense of Jesus taking us, just taking us a lump. And it's just a lump, nothing particularly attractive about it, but he forms us, applies pressure to us. And something wonderful begins to be formed. And potters would say that they respond to the clay. They respond to the clay. We might think, well, you know, the clay is lifeless, it's got nothing. You do what you want. No, the potter says, I'm responding to what the clay is doing. And sometimes we're like the clay pot that just goes fly everywhere. And Jesus patiently picks us up, gathers us back together. Let's go again. Let's do it again. And day after day, and week after week, and year after year, a lifetime's work of being formed. a lifetime's work of being formed as we, as those who seek to be disciples, paying attention to Jesus and following him, as we adopt the habits of the disciple, we are being formed into all that God created us to be. Character is about a life chosen for Jesus. A transformed character, our heart, our inner life, is about a life that is chosen for Jesus. I love the story that we read in Deuteronomy, where Moses speaks to the people of God. And the story is that they have been set free from slavery in Egypt. They've known the power of God and the presence of God. And yet their experience is that they have not always obeyed God. And yet God has been like that potter who's gathered them up and has worked with them again and again and again. And the passage that we read in Deuteronomy, I think it's Deuteronomy 30 or 32, something like that, where Moses is speaking to the people. This is after 40 years of journeying round the wilderness, seemingly going nowhere, but God is forming them. Moses speaks to them and says, "We're close now to the promised land. We're close to what God promised to us. God set us free from slavery in order that we might enjoy the promise that is so close." And Moses speaks to the people and says, "I'm going to lay before you life and death. I'm going to lay before you a choice. Life and death." And then he says, "Choose life. Choose life. If you walk in the way of God, if you respond to him, if you seek to obey him with your whole heart, you will experience life. But if you turn away, if you reject what God has for you, and all the blessings that he has for you, yes, it might be hard sometimes, but if you reject what God has for you, it's as if you're choosing death." And so Moses says, "For goodness sake, choose life." And a disciple has chosen life. A disciple has said yes to the life of Jesus. Yes to the challenges of following after Jesus. A disciple has said, "I recognize that God is not going to force anything in me, but he will respond to all that I choose. And I freely choose the habits of obedience. I choose the habits of prayer. I choose the habit of Bible study. I choose the habit that my life might be an offering of worship to Christ. And I choose the habit of paying attention to my inner life, that my character might be transformed and I might more reflect all that Jesus is." It is a life that is chosen for Jesus. But even as we choose for Jesus, there are decisions that we make and there is a recognition of influences upon us. A pastor that I know in the United States this week on social media just noted, a lady came to me, he said, this was last Sunday, a lady came to me and said, "I've decided to stop watching Fox News." Now, you may or may not be aware of Fox News, but Fox News, if you want to follow the, how can I best put it? the lies and the deceit and the manipulation of the American government, watch Fox News. It's right wing. It bows the knee to Donald Trump. And this lady came up to the pastor, Brian, and said, "Brian, I've decided to stop watching Fox News. I've realized it's not good for my soul." And she was actually asking Brian, "What should I watch instead?" And Brian's response was, "Nature documentaries," which I thought was a great response. But as we choose for Jesus, you see, as disciples who pay attention to Jesus, listen carefully to Jesus, we read all that Jesus says and does and is in the Gospels. And we respond to that. As we seek to root ourselves in Jesus and we choose to become more like Jesus, being formed by him, sometimes we struggle. And one of the reasons we struggle is because we don't want to make decisions about the influences upon us. If you are a regular watcher of Fox News, that will have a detrimental impact upon your soul. If you watch GB News, that will have a detrimental effect upon your soul. If you are a regular reader of the Daily Mail, that will have a detrimental impact upon your soul. Too controversial? What we want to do as disciples have influences that support our decision to follow Jesus. We want to have influences upon us that support our decision, our choices, that reflect the goodness of God, that reflect the openness and generosity and kindness and mercy of God. And if we constantly drip feed into ourselves influences that are not good for us, yes, we will struggle. No matter how many habits we choose, unless we recognize the detrimental impact of some influences, it may be that the company we keep has a detrimental impact upon what we're seeking to be. And we need to be careful. Pay attention to your soul. Pay attention to your soul. Recognize there are decisions that we need to make where we say, it may be okay for everybody else, but for me, I recognize I just can't go there. A habit of a life chosen for Jesus because I'm paying attention to my character. I know I want my character to be transformed, to be more like that of Jesus. So I want examples of Jesus to influence me. And finally, a life that is founded upon Jesus. Jesus is our foundation. Jesus tells the story about two people who build their homes. One builds his house upon the sand, and the other a house upon a rock. And the storms of life come up against those houses. And the one who has strong foundation, well, that house stands. And our inner life, the attention we've paid to our souls and our characters, they are like our life founded upon Jesus. I looked out this photograph from 2 or 3 years ago now, and this is a piling machine. It's actually about where I'm standing. This picture was taken. I was about where I'm standing right now. And this huge drill was drilling holes, deep holes in the land, just here. And then they were pouring concrete into these deep holes. And they were the builders, the contractors, were forming the foundation of this building. Building a strong foundation for us. And as disciples who are paying attention to Jesus, who pay attention to our character, we want to have lives that are founded on a good foundation. And it may be that nobody else will see the attention we pay to our foundation. It may be all the hidden things that we do in our lives. But we say, when the storms in life come, I want to stand. And that will be true for us if we build on a good foundation. It's not glamorous. Nobody's going to come along and admire it. But it's our inner strength, founded deep on Jesus. I recognize that certainly my experience in church life over many years, and probably this is true for many of us, there are many people who have wonderful gifts. And we all appreciate people with wonderful gifts. People with the gift of organization, managers, people with the gift of music and finance and speaking and art and leadership and catering and hospitality, all sorts of wonderful gifts. But gifts without character, gifts without good character, are like a house built on sand. And I would say, and I've reflected on it this last week, I don't think I've ever had an issue in the life of the church with anybody's gift. I don't think I've ever had an issue with somebody's gift. I've only ever had an issue with, guess what? Character. I've been driven to the edge of madness because people didn't have Christ-like character. They had the greatest gifts, but their life didn't reflect a character that reflected Christ. And that might be your experience as well. And I've said in the past, I would rather have a church where people had no gifts, but all character, than a church full of wonderful gifts and no character. Because it's all about character at the end of the day. Character is what we're committed to. And the encouragement to each one of us is to have a character that is rooted in Jesus, that's becoming like Jesus himself, where we have chosen, we've made choices to be transformed, to be like Jesus, a character that is founded on the strong foundation of Jesus. And yes, pressure will come against us. You know, when pressure comes against us, that's when our character emerges. The last time you brushed your teeth, whether that was this morning or last night, pick up the toothpaste tube and you squeeze it. What comes out? Toothpaste. Again, it's not rocket science. When pressure is applied, what is inside comes out. When pressure is applied to us, our true character reveals itself. And we want that when pressure is applied to us, what is revealed is something of the character of Jesus. And yes, we're not perhaps who we should be, but hopefully we're not who we were. And a final note. Maybe you've been asked in certain situations, who do you want to be in 5 years' time? You ever been asked that kind of question? Who do you want to be in 10 years? More likely, it's where do you want to be, or what do you want to be doing? Who do you want to be? We choose the habits of discipleship now, because in 5 years and 10 years, we want to say, I'm still not who I should be, but I am less who I used to be. Because God, in his mercy, is transforming me. A disciple pays attention to character. A disciple pays attention to their soul, to their inner life. A disciple pays attention to Jesus and prays that we might be transformed by him to be more like him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are with us. Father, thank you for your patience with us. And Father, thank you that as we choose to submit our lives to you, so you are transforming us. And Father, we pray today that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, you would encourage us, and inspire us to adopt those habits of a disciple, that day by day, week by week, year by year, we might be changed and transformed. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.